We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Christmas hymn, Let All Together Praise Our God. It's the hymn of the day for this coming Sunday. One of the stanzas of that hymn says, He undertakes a great exchange, puts on our human frame, and in return gives us His realm, His glory, and His name. That is, of course, what the Christmas season is all about. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be looking forward to Sunday morning, the presentation of our Lord in Luke chapter 2. Dr. Carl Fikencher will be our guest. Then in hour two, the Christmas season, since it simply begins a season that the church celebrates. Christmas isn't over. Pastor Will Whedon will be our guest to talk about the season we are now in. Dr. Carl Fikencher is a regular guest. He's professor of pastoral ministry and missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Fikencher, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Todd, and a blessed continuing celebration of Christmas to you.
Dr. Fikencher, again this Sunday, we've got an interesting coincidence of the church calendar and the world's calendar. It's the first Sunday after Christmas, but it's also New Year's Eve. Now, obviously, New Year's is a major holiday in our country, apart from the church's consideration, but it's also got a place in the church's year. So how are you going to approach this coming Sunday morning for us?
Yes, well, that's exactly right. New Year's Eve is a festival for us, just as New Year's Day the following day on Monday will be a big day. It's got all that football involved with the NFL on Sunday and then New Year's Day with college football as well. And the end of a calendar year in itself really is a major time for kind of stepping back and looking, even as Christians, to consider what has gone before us, the sins of which we repent, the sins for which we are forgiven, and to look ahead. But New Year's Eve and then New Year's Day as the culmination also actually have a significant place in the church year, because New Year's Day is the day of the celebration of the circumcision of Jesus, which of course is very significant, because as the first time Jesus' blood was shed, it is a foreshadowing of his shedding blood in quantity on the cross 33 years later. And so the church year actually observes New Year's Eve as the eve of the circumcision of our Lord. That, of course, could be celebrated this coming Sunday. But last year, when New Year's Day was actually on Sunday, in our Looking Forward to Sunday Morning series, we considered those propers at that time. So this year, we will simply invite people who want to observe that circumcision of our Lord, which they may hear about on New Year's Eve and on Sunday evening at church, to listen to our archives. And we'll have plenty to talk about by looking at the first Sunday after Christmas as we continue to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, which we've celebrated now just so recently.
Then we begin with the first proper that we'll encounter on Sunday morning, being the introit. And it begins, rather than with an antiphon taken from the Psalms, which is kind of the ordinary thing to do, it starts with Isaiah 52. What do we find there?
It reads as follows: The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. and the Gloria Patri, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Isaiah chapter 52 that gives us most of, or at least gives us our antiphon for the intro at this week, is one of the Old Testament readings appointed for the various Christmas services. In some of our churches, we may have heard that either on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning. Isaiah chapter 52, verses 7 through 10, and this time, the Lord has bared his holy arm before all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of God. That's verse 10 from Isaiah chapter 52. And this really very nicely shows us what we're going to be talking about on this first Sunday after Christmas, that now, at long last, after all that waiting for Christmas, and for Isaiah and the Old Testament people, it was a whole lot longer than waiting one calendar year. There it was waiting for centuries, for millennia, and not really knowing when the termination would come. Finally, at long last, the Lord has bared his holy arm. That means he's now shown off. He's displayed the salvation that has been coming all along. All the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. He has laid his salvation before all the eyes of the nations. Again and again and again in this intro, not just here from Isaiah 52:10, but also from Psalm 98, verses 1 to 4, which is the rest of the intro, we hear that reference to salvation being revealed. His right hand, his holy arm, have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He's revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Jesus coming in the flesh, God the Son becoming one of us, is the way that finally, at long last, after all those centuries from Adam and Eve, people were able to see with their own eyes God's salvation among them. We, of course, have that joy of looking back and seeing in the New Testament scriptures the fulfillment of what God has done. We see, at least in the eyes of faith and with our eyes as they scan the pages of scripture, we see that God has, in fact, revealed his salvation in the living, breathing baby Jesus, who then grew up, lived, walked among his people, worked miracles, preached, taught, and finally died on the cross and rose from the grave, appearing even after his resurrection. And he is the salvation that we've been looking for all along. So very much this first Sunday after Christmas, we're looking, stepping back and seeing with our eyes what God has put before us when he sent Jesus into the manger.
In the collect for the first Sunday after Christmas, we have kind of a restorative way of talking about Christ's incarnation and birth.
Yeah, that's right. The word restored is in there. Here it is. O God, our Maker and Redeemer, you wonderfully created us, and in the incarnation of your Son, yet more wondrously restored our human nature. Grant that we may ever be alive in him who made himself to be like us, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. That, Todd, is exactly what God's people through the Old Testament were looking forward to. Adam and Eve had a firsthand awareness of how magnificent it was to live in paradise in a perfect environment, a perfect world, a sinless world, where their relationship with God was unbroken by sin, where everything was exactly as God had intended it to be. Of course, as soon as they sinned, then that was lost, and they looked forward to the restoration of that kind of relationship with God. All the subsequent generations, of course, had not experienced paradise firsthand, but they certainly were reminded again and again and again by evidence of guilt, by illness, by death, by tragedy, that something was badly wrong. And those who knew the story of their first parents, those who understood the Old Testament scriptures, realized that it had not always been this way, and they therefore also longed for all of this to be restored, restore our human nature. Well, that's exactly what Jesus now has done when he took on our human nature. You wonderfully created us, and in the incarnation of your Son, yet more wondrously restored our human nature. Incarnation is, of course, the word that means God became one of us. God became flesh, took on a real human body, became a real human being like ourselves. That's what the incarnation is. And that, again, is where we see the salvation of God before our eyes. And certainly that was the case with those who lived in the first century and saw Jesus walking on earth. Even Mary and Joseph looking down at that little baby in the manger right there was the incarnation of God himself. There with their eyes, they were seeing the salvation that God had procured for them after all those centuries, all those millennia of promise and anticipation and suffering and the effects of sin. Now that finally was restored, they could see it with their own eyes, and we likewise in the pages of Scripture see that salvation in the incarnation of God in the flesh.
The gradual that is established there on the celebration of Christ's nativity continues the same throughout, I believe, the entire Christmas.
That's right. And I wanted to read it this time simply because last week we really didn't have time with so many of the wonderful propers for Christmas to enjoy. But we will hear this for the subsequent weeks. And it is a beautiful redo of Christmas every time we come together in this season. From Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, and also again from Psalm 98. To us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. That is a beautiful summary of Christmas, isn't it? The child is born to us, and he is wonderful. He is God. He is our Father. He is the Prince of Peace, and we do celebrate and sing every day of this season a new song because of what he has done for us. Marvelous things.
Would you get us started in the Old Testament reading? We could deal with it also on the other side of the break.
The Old Testament lesson for this first Sunday after Christmas is the last portion of Isaiah 61 and the first portion of Isaiah 62. If you look back through some of our other times together, Todd, we notice that this section of Scripture has and will continue to be occurring during this time of year rather generously. We had the first portion of Isaiah 61 and continued with verses 8 through 10 a bit ago, and ahead of us during the Epiphany season also comes more of Isaiah chapter 62. It's because it is a beautiful capsule of what goes on when God becomes a human being. I'll read it and then we can talk about it more after the break. Isaiah chapter 61 verse 10 and continuing into chapter 62 through verse 3. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. For Zion's sake I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not be quiet, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your righteousness, and all the kings your glory. And you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God.
That's the Old Testament reading for this coming Sunday, the first Sunday after Christmas. Dr. Carl Fikencher is helping us look forward to Sunday morning. On this Tuesday afternoon, when we come back, we will see what we find for ourselves, what God delivers to us there in Isaiah's prophecy from Isaiah 61. Stay tuned.
In the early 90s, communication scholars began talking about the old concept of the newspaper. The, you know, those things on paper with ink.
Terry Mattingly speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
The concept behind this, they called it the Daily We. That there was supposed to be a media product that we would consume that would help us learn about other people in our community, in our nation, and that we would at least be consuming some of the same information. for the sake of debate, discourse, etc. The internet is absolutely brilliant at destroying the daily we.
You can listen to Terry Matting Lee's presentation, Making the Case for News Discernment, on an audio DVD of both of our 2017 Making the Case conferences. We'll send it to you for a year-end tax-deductible donation of $300. Just click the DVD logo at issuesetc.org.
Your daily Lutheran Bible class. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the language of medicine and law today. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Double your donation to Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. A special challenge offers a dollar-for-dollar match on any amount donated by the end of the year. Metro East Lutheran engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment and provides an alternative to secular public high schools. You can make a year-end tax-deductible contribution at MELHS.org or call 618-656-0043. 40 years greatly blessed. Metro East Lutheran High School.
The Father sends him from his throne to me.
Stanza 2 of the hymn, Let All Together Praise Our God. We're looking forward to Sunday morning, the first Sunday after Christmas, with Dr. Carl Fickhenscher. He is professor of pastoral ministry and missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's also chairman of Preach the Word for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Preach the Word helps pastors work together to improve their preaching through video modules with accompanying resources and by interacting with seminary professors and fellow preachers. You can learn more at lcms.org/preachtheword, lcms.org/preachtheword. Dr. Fickhenscher, you read it before the break, but this Isaiah 61 passage that is our Old Testament reading, what do we find there?
As we said before, this one does occur several times at this time of year because it really is a beautiful Christmas passage, also into the Epiphany season. We looked at it a couple of weeks ago during Advent, and we talked about how it has that beautiful picture of the bridegroom decking himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Certainly it is very festive, it is celebrative, and on that basis alone it fits beautifully at this time of year. It's a prophecy of rejoicing. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, my soul shall exalt in my God. This time, though, I especially want to look at the early portion of chapter 62, the last three verses of our Old Testament lesson, because there it does talk about what we're focusing on for this first Sunday after Christmas, that is, the revealing of the salvation that God has worked through all of these centuries and finally brought to fruition when Jesus shows up in the manger. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet. Clearly, the prophet is saying there's something going on here. I've just got to talk about it. I've got to proclaim. It's not hidden anymore. It can't wait. It can't be kept under a bushel. It's got to be proclaimed. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a burning torch. There's that picture again of our salvation being put on display like a burning torch. In the nighttime, a torch on the top of a mountain could be seen from great distance. Of course, it was the way that people could go forward walking down the trail in the darkness as well. But also, it was a way of announcing, kind of like a smoke signal in North America centuries later, the idea of sending up that burning light that people could see from a distance. He says, the nations shall see your righteousness, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. Talking there about God's people being known by a new name, not rejected, not lonely, not desperate as God's people were in the time of Isaiah, and as he looked down the line to even worse times to come. But now they would not be called rejected, they would not be called desolate, they would not be called lonely, they would be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. This is what we are now that Christ has revealed himself by coming in the flesh. Our salvation is shining like a burning torch for all the nations to see. That's what's happened now that Christ has come. That's what we live with now in this entire New Testament age. It's easy for us to forget that. It's easy, for example, for us to set Christmas up on the shelf for perhaps 50 weeks of the year and forget about it after the day comes. But beyond just the celebration of this holiday, it is actually true that since Christ has come, since our hymn talks about heaven being opened today, ever since the coming of Christ and that announcement by the angels to the shepherds near Bethlehem that the Savior has been born to us, ever from that point onward, we are living in this age in which we are decked out with the crown of righteousness, with a garment of salvation, in which we are glorious before God. Whatever all the world thinks of us and whatever we think of ourselves, whatever we see in ourselves when we see our sinfulness, when we see the desperation, the sadness, the suffering that is around us all the time, nevertheless, the Scriptures invite us to look past that and see us as God sees us, as beautiful and glorious, because God has made that exchange with us, Todd, that you talked about from the hymn, that he has taken on our suffering, our sinfulness, and given us his righteousness. That's the exchange that took place when God became man, when Jesus was born and laid in that manger in Bethlehem.
The psalm for the first Sunday after Christmas is Psalm 111. What is it?
This is another psalm of enthronement, a picture of God being glorified before people. Psalm 111, praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright, in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of splendor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the inheritance of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. As we're seeing throughout the propers of this first Sunday after Christmas, we're seeing God's salvation put on display. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. It's not a private thing. It's not a secret. It's right out there for the entire congregation to see and celebrate together. Verse 3, full of splendor and majesty is his work. We can look and we can see the glory, the splendor, the majestic nature of God's work before us. He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. Again, they're not secret. They're not hidden. They're out there for everyone to see, experience, and to remember. He has shown his people the power of his works. All of this is what's on display when God puts himself on display, becoming a human being. We can never begin to measure the magnificence or the importance for us of the incarnation of God becoming one of us. Apart from God taking on human flesh and becoming one of us, being made to be a human being like ourselves, we would always have been left with an idea of God being vague and distant, the way, frankly, other religions of the world always picture God. There's no cozying up to the Islamic view of Allah. He is above all things and certainly does not become one of us. That is totally anathema, totally a damnable doctrine, as far as a Muslim would say. It keeps Allah always at a distance from us, as, of course, the various deities in ancient mythology were as well. Always above, living on Mount Olympus, always deigning to play among us if they wish, but never becoming one of us. The fact that God took on our own flesh, became one of us, is the way that we actually know who and what he truly is. When we see Jesus face to face someday in heaven, as Jesus told the disciples in John chapter 14, we will have seen the fullness of God. We will see everything there is to see. Not even seeing the Father would exceed what we have in the intimacy of seeing Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who has all the glory and all the presence of God in himself. And again, think about that fullness of God being perhaps 20 inches long and maybe weighing 6 pounds and lying in a box from which animals eat. That's an amazing thing to see right before our very eyes.
What would you say about the epistle reading, which is the very familiar words of St. Paul in Galatians chapter 4, when for a few verses he talks about, in a kind of oblique way, the incarnation?
Yes. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, it is very Christmas card worthy, as you're hinting there. It's familiar. It's been on the Fekentra family Christmas card before. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Todd, do you want to talk about it for a while first, or shall we break and come back and talk about it?
Let's take a break. We'll take a break and we will come back and dig into Paul's words in Galatians chapter 4, when the fullness of time had come. Dr. Carl Fekentra is our guest. Folks, if you enjoy listening to audiobooks like me, I am an absolute junkie of audiobooks. I don't want my wife to know how much I spend at Audible every year on audiobooks. It's for my commute back and forth. If you're a junkie like me of audiobooks, be sure to purchase and download Previous Issues, Etc. Book of the Month. It's called Ladylike Living Biblically. It's read by the authors, Rebecca Curtis and Rose Adel. You'll find it at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. It's called Ladylike Living Biblically. When we come back, it's going to be time to look at Galatians chapter 4. Then we'll move on to the gospel reading, Luke chapter 2. Jesus is presented in his own house, the temple. Stay tuned.
Tough to be Lutheran in America these days. Our families, our schools and churches, even our most deeply held beliefs and values are under fire. We need unchanging truth in a world full of confusion. The Lutheran Witness magazine can help. For less than a quarter a day, get the best of Lutheran reflection on faith and life, theology and culture, delivered monthly right to your mailbox. Learn more at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
We would like to overlook the difficulty of daily repentance and death to our sins in the interest of progressing to a more advanced spirituality.
Rebecca Curtis from her new audiobook, Ladylike Living Biblically.
Somehow, spiritual advancement always amounts to our getting to spend more time on the things we like and calling it stewardship or service.
You can purchase and download an audio version of Ladylike Living Biblically at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. Ladylike Living Biblically by Rebecca Curtis and Rose Adel.
No gimmicks, no shticks, just straightforward preaching and teaching in accord with Scripture and the Lutheran confessions. By the book liturgy, right from the hymnal. No glitz, just Christ crucified for sinners like us. We're Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin. Come receive God's gifts with us. Find out more about us at gracelutheranracine, that's all one word, .net. And like you, we're proud supporters of Issues, Etc.
Answering objections defending the faith, evolution or creation,
transgenderism, and homosexuality. These are some of the issues addressed at the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 3rd, at Faith Lutheran Church in San Antonio, Texas. Learn more at worldviewsa.org. This conference features issues that center a guest, Dr. Jan Lohmeyer, and Pastor David J. Weber. The San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 3rd, worldviewsa.org.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. this year, please consider a year-end tax-deductible donation to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible gift online at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind when you consider your year-end giving.
Listen to the best of the church's Christmas music during the entire Christmas season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. During the 12 days of Christmas, Lutheran Public Radio, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Stanza 4 of the Hymn of the Day for this coming Sunday, the first Sunday after Christmas. Let all together praise our God. Dr. Fakencher, we heard the epistle reading from Galatians 4 before the break. Where would you take us there?
Well, remember, we've been talking about how in our human rhythm of things nowadays, we look forward to Christmas and it seems like it takes forever to get here, but we realize that that's nothing compared to the way it was for the Old Testament people who waited literally for millennia. And when Christ finally appeared in the flesh, when that incarnation finally took place at Christmas and they could see the salvation of God, it was really as if things had been waiting and waiting and waiting forever. And that's what St. Paul has in mind when he begins our epistle lesson, when the fullness of time had come. There's so much wrapped up in that, because even before God created Adam and Eve, when he knew that upon their creation they would sin and make necessary setting in motion this entire plan of salvation that comes so beautifully to fruition at Christmas and in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, God knew that every single moment along the way would be orchestrated toward this grand event. Things that took place with the nation of Israel, but also things that took place in all those other nations that weren't among God's chosen people, whether it be the Assyrians or the Babylonians or the Edomites or wherever. All of those people also were going through things in life that God was always orchestrating ultimately for this event of Christmas and the completion of Jesus' salvific events, when the fullness of time had come. Of course, there are many meaningful observations about what made this the perfect time, and we don't know in fullness ourselves. God certainly does. But we observe things like the fact that at the Pax Romana, the Peace of Rome, the time in which the Roman Empire kept order in the Mediterranean world, it did make it possible for the gospel to go out very, very quickly in the decades after Christ's resurrection. We see that in the book of Acts, and that's something that would not have been possible at other times in history. There's so many things that worked together to make that the time when the gospel could go forward. And there's more, of course, to it than we could possibly fathom, because God knows how every intimate, intricate detail along the way was bringing us to just the right moment. But it certainly reminds us that God has had each one of us personally in mind, our salvation personally in view, from the time of Adam and Eve and even from all eternity, orchestrating those things to the fullness of time when God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Jesus, of course, the one who is the giver of the law, was by no means obliged to keep it, but by placing himself as a human being in the incarnation, taking on our flesh, and then willingly even taking on our sin and giving us in place his righteousness, he did, in fact, then obligate himself. The result was that he has redeemed those who are under the law, that's each one of us, so that we might receive adoption as sons. That's the very exchange that the hymn of the day that we've been hearing now, just heard that last stanza, has been reminding us that you alluded to from the beginning, Todd, that adoption as sons means that we now are what Christ from all eternity has been. He's always been the Son of God, but now we, that's men and women, we'd call them sons or daughters, but God calls all of us sons. All of us then have been adopted into the same kind of relationship with the Heavenly Father that Christ has had from all eternity. And look at the result of that. Because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son, the Spirit of Christ that is, into our hearts crying, Abba, Father. Abba is an intimate way to speak of the Father. It's kind of like Daddy. It's an affectionate way that we would speak to our Father. So I wouldn't speak to anybody else that way except my own dad who's in heaven now. Only to my own Father would I speak that way. But St. Paul says we get to speak to the Heavenly Father that way, in the same way that I spoke so joyfully for many, many years to my dad throughout those years. We're no longer slaves, but sons. And if a son, then an heir through God. Again, all of this is what happens when God himself takes on our human flesh in the incarnation. After all the time of waiting, when God knew that it was just the right time, he now comes to earth, takes on flesh that we can see, a person that Mary and Joseph could hold, could embrace, someone that we can love and trust. Right there before our eyes as well, our salvation has been revealed in Christ, and the result of that is that now we are in that same kind of relationship with the Heavenly Father that he has been. We are no longer slaves, we are sons, therefore heirs of all the things of Christ that God has to offer.
So that brings us to the gospel reading, which is the presentation of Jesus.
Again, very appropriate for this first Sunday after Christmas because we still have Jesus as a little tiny baby, specifically 40 days old at the time of his presentation in the temple. Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. And when the time came, there's that reference to time being just right again. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they, that's Mary and Joseph, brought him, that's Jesus, of course, up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there's a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for the glory of your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping and fasting with prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began giving thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Israel. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of the Lord was upon him.
Dr. Carl Fikencher is our guest. We'll be looking at that gospel reading when we come back with him. We are looking forward to Sunday morning, the first Sunday after Christmas. He's professor of pastoral ministry and missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We will rejoin the Holy Family there at the temple right after the break.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans in their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
Do you dread going to work out?
Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
You can teach lay people theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator for stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship. lcms.org/stewardship. The final stanza of the Christmas hymn, Let All Together Praise Our God. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Dr. Carl Fikencher is our guest as we look forward to Sunday morning, the first Sunday after Christmas. If you appreciate our weekly Bible studies, looking forward to Sunday morning, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible contribution to Issues Etc. No gift is too small. You can make a secure online gift at issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. Send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping Issues Etc. in mind at the end of the year. Dr. Fikencher, hold forth, if you would, on the gospel reading we heard before the break.
All right. Again, this is the presentation of Jesus in the temple, which means that Jesus is 40 days old. And according to the Old Testament law, that was the day that a mother who had given birth to her first son was to present him to the Lord in the temple. Remember, we've been talking through our propers this week about a couple of things. We've talked about that long time of waiting that we feel in microcosm when we wait a year for Christmas, but the Old Testament people had been waiting for thousands of years. years. We saw that in our epistle lesson from Galatians, and again we hear it here, when the time came for their purification. That's very much a part of what's going on here in our gospel reading. We've also talked about how we finally, after all this delay in the incarnation, God becoming flesh, we finally see God's salvation revealed to us, and we're going to see that beautifully also in this gospel lesson as well. The 40 days are critical because in the Old Testament, God had told the people in Leviticus chapter 12 and Exodus chapter 13 that this was a process that they were to follow. This was a reminder, the firstborn son being made precious and presented after 40 days, a reminder of the time when the Israelites had come out of Egypt with the deliverance of their firstborns. Remember when the angel of death passed over the land of Egypt, the firstborn in all the houses of Egypt were slain. And so in Exodus chapter 13, at the time of the Passover, God said, henceforth, your firstborn sons will always be special. They'll always be dedicated, presented to the Lord, because that will remind you forevermore of how I delivered you. Ultimately, of course, it now comes to completion, because that picture of delivering the firstborn in the Old Testament was a picture of how the firstborn of God would actually be the deliverance from all for all of us from death. And that's, of course, now when the Son of God comes on in human flesh and is presented in the temple. Notice also that Mary and Joseph, who have special insight from God, remember, we heard last week about how Mary and Joseph both were told by the angel that the child that was to be born to her and cared for by him would be nothing less than the Son of God. But they don't pull rank as if to say, well, since this child is the Son of God, we won't go through all those mundane processes that regular people were supposed to follow. That's so crucial because Jesus became a regular person. He became one of us who, according to Galatians 4, Paul's word in our epistle lesson, was then under the law to redeem those who were under the law. He had to do all the things, here verse 23, as it is written in the law of the Lord. And again in verse 24, as it is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, the sacrifice that a poor family, which Joseph and Mary would have been, were to present to the Lord at this time. Now, at just this time, when everything was right, both according to the 40 days and according to God's grand design in our epistle lesson, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The text says he was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. In other words, he was looking forward to that day when God would send the Messiah, the one who would be the promised consolation, the one who would redeem Israel and bring back that relationship that was broken by our sin. Verse 26 is remarkable. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. We don't know how, but somehow, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Obviously, this is a one-time, very special thing, a special blessing that God gave to this man, Simeon, through no special virtue of his own. He was righteous and upright, like Mary was faithful, but by God's grace, choosing these people for certain jobs. His job now was to come to the temple at this very time and make the announcement that this is the Lord's Christ. And so, the Holy Spirit reveals to him that he should come into the temple this very day, and when Joseph and Mary bring in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, Simeon takes the baby up in his arms and blessed God and said, we've all sung this so many times in what is called the Nunc Dimittis, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you've prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation of the Gentiles and for the glory of your people, Israel. Nunc Dimittis means now, to be dismissed. Now we can depart. Simeon realizes that now the thing that had been so special in God's promise to him has in fact been fulfilled. We remember, of course, that we use this in our liturgy right after Holy Communion, because as we leave the Lord's table, we also have seen with our very own eyes and tasted upon our tongues the salvation that God has prepared ever since the fall until the time was just right as it is now. And so Simeon makes this magnificent pronouncement in a beautiful brief canticle that we use in our liturgy all the time, announcing that Jesus, in his coming, has completed all the things that God was intending all along. And notice that it is, of course, for all peoples. It's certainly for the glory of Israel, but it's also a light for revelation to the Gentiles. Notice, as we've seen throughout the propers, that we see this salvation now being revealed, now being seen, made apparent, made visible to all peoples. Mary and Joseph marveled at what was said about him, no question about that, even though they had that special insight. Every time we see some new special revelation, we see that same, wow, this is really happening, isn't it? All those things the angel told us, they really are unfolding right before our very eyes. And then, something that Mary and Joseph undoubtedly could not have fully grasped until Mary, much, much later at the cross of Jesus. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." At a moment like this, a celebration, a time when mother and foster father are delighted to present this child before the Lord in the temple, we don't want a Debbie Downer coming in and saying something bad is going to happen. And it isn't ultimately bad. It's what we call Good Friday. But it certainly was an event that would cause a sword to pierce through Mary's heart. This Jesus, the Savior, now incarnate for all peoples, nevertheless would be opposed. He would not be embraced by all. He would be opposed by most, as a matter of fact, even to the point that he would be crucified. But that crucifixion, Jesus' death on the cross, is precisely what would secure that salvation that we are now seeing in the flesh in Jesus. And as if to make a great thing even better, there's that last element with the prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, a woman who's at least 84 years old, advanced in years, the text says. So she's been waiting also a long, long time. But at this very hour, she came into the temple and began giving thanks and speaking to all those who were also waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. All of those things God had been promising throughout the Old Testament now finally have come to those who wait. At the perfect hour, the time when the fullness has finally been achieved, God brings that salvation in the incarnation, in the person of Jesus Christ. Todd, that brings me then to my theme for the propers for this first Sunday after Christmas. And I read it this way: at long last, the time has fully come that the Lord has revealed his salvation for all to see. At long last, the time has fully come that the Lord has revealed his salvation for all to see. They waited so long, as we waited a year for Christmas Day finally to come. And when that day is finally here, when God knows that it is indeed the fullness of time, then he comes in the flesh so that real human beings can see a real human being who is nothing less than God, their Savior, lying in the manger. And he has come for all nations, for the Jews first, and also for the Gentiles, and that means for every single one of us. That's what we continue to celebrate on this first Sunday after Christmas.
Dr. Carl Fakencher is professor of pastoral ministry and missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Fakencher, thank you.
Thank you so much, Todd.
Issues Etc. is brought to you in part today by Luther Academy. Learn more about this confessional Lutheran worldwide mission outreach at lutheracademy.com. Be sure to request their free email newsletter, lutheracademy.com, serving Lutheran pastors and lay people to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy. In hour two of Issues Etc., we'll be talking with Pastor Will Whedon, not just about Christmas as a day, but as Christmas as the church's season. It is its own season, short though it may be, and it's filled with all kinds of things, not the least of which here is what we just talked about, Jesus being presented at the temple, presented in obedience to his own law to fulfill the law in our place. I'm Todd Wilkin. Issues Etc. continues after the break.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The third commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in him, our true rest, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear his word and receive his gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstadt.org.
Have you ever wanted to better understand philosophy and its impact on your family, your church, or your world, but didn't know where to begin? Concordia University, Wisconsin has an innovative, free online course for you entitled Philosophy Kata Christan. These six engaging video sessions are taught by noted Lutheran philosopher, lecturer, author, and pastor, Dr. Gregory Scholz. Learn more by clicking the Kata Christan logo at issuesetc.org. issuesetc.org.
South Africa.
China.
Germany.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world? India.
Sweden.
Egypt.
France.
Turkey.
Japan.
Australia.
Canada.
United Kingdom.
Hong Kong.
Austria.
Finland.
Malaysia.
Singapore.
Bulgaria.
Korea.
Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines.
Mexico.
Spain.
New Zealand.
Kuwait.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore, thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.